No other questions? So I guess we have two things left to do. We have E, the timber harvesting piece, and that's a language check, the LD 1739. And then at some point, we've got to decide what we're going to do next Thursday. I think next Thursday, we also have a so-called fertilizer bill. Representative Cray is not here. We've got, and when he gets back here, I think that's going to be on tap for Thursday also, right? So we'll finish up the timber harvesting and then sort of see what we can do, set a schedule for Thursday along with the fertilizer bill, so-called.
Okay. The blue language Megan's going to pass out right now, and I think there should be plenty of extras for people. And you voted this bill. This is an act to change regulations of forestry activities. And this was a separate bill that came in as a department bill and asked to have Maine Forest Service oversee regulation and to do the regulation and the enforcement for timber harvesting activities. There's several pieces to it. Most of them you've seen before. Again, this is a bill you voted. The shaded sections are language that you haven't seen. At the last work session, there were concerns that about the FEMA being consistent. If the Bureau of Forestry takes over the this piece, that people don't lose their flood insurance from FEMA to make sure that stays consistent. There was also questions about how NERPA would work into this. Right now, DEP has, LURC has delegation from DEP to do NERPA permits, and then how would this happen if timber harvesting and other activities are going to the Maine Forest Service? How would the NERPA permits be handled? What you have is, I've worked with Don Manzius and Doug Denico from the Bureau of Forestry on this, and Samantha Horn Olson on this. I'm not sure the language is quite right yet, but I think it's closer. And if you wanted to just walk through this blue, I think I could point out what's you've seen before and what you haven't seen before. Does that seem like an approach? And if you have questions in terms of what some intent may be, then you may want to bring others up here. The first section is as you have seen it before. This is for...
Excuse me, so we're on page 3?
No, you're on page 1, actually.
Oh.
Of the blue. No.
Okay.
No,
just the underline there. I'm sorry.
Section 1 you've seen before. Section 2, I tried to do this in shading, but then it didn't show up with the blue. This was discussed at your last work session, but you didn't have the language. I mean, at the last work session, you had language that would have roads, timber harvesting activities, which includes roads for forest management, were going to the Bureau of Forestry. But also they want to do, and there's agreement between LURC and Maine Forest Service, I understand, to allow the Forest Service to do the permitting and the administration for all land management roads. And land management roads, this would be roads used for agricultural management activities and forest management activities, and also for gravel pits of under 5 acres and for water crossings. So this language looks.
Question? Representative McGabe. Okay, so you want to wait a minute?
The only thing, it's fine to ask questions. However you want to do it, is the chair.
Representative McCabe's a little ahead of the game here.
Okay. Well, you'll notice the language that's in that blue. This is subsection 4 near the end of the page. That second paragraph says the rules must require a permit from the Bureau for activities located within areas of special flood hazard as defined in the Commission's rules. LURC has all the floodplain mapping and stuff, and that's the sentence that's put in that hopefully will we'll make sure that that shift is consistent and FEMA is okay and still recognizes the compliance. And then the second sentence, this came up, this concern Lurk had brought up in regard to the timber harvesting, that there are certain, if the Bureau of Forestry is going to assume these responsibilities in protection districts and management districts. And in the protection districts, there are some sub-districts where there are other things to look at that they brought up, the historic, scenic, scientific, recreational, and aesthetic. And so this language is just to make sure that those don't get lost when they go over to the Bureau of Forestry. The second page, this at the top, this is all the language. This is the chop and drop language. The only new sentence there is, and I'm not sure this sentence is necessary. I might want to revise it a little bit, but concerns were brought up that under the chop and drop, people, to make sure that you still have to stay within the allowable cut under shoreland zoning and under the forestry's rules for timber harvesting in the shoreline area. So that bold italics captures the intent of that. I'm not sure it's necessary, but that's why that's there. That's the only new language in that section. And then again, section 5 is a companion piece. On page 1, we were over in Lurk statutes, and now we're still in Title 12, but we're in the chapter for the forestry chapter. This is section 5, a new subsection. This is directing the Bureau of Forestry to administer and enforce. And then it's the Commissioner of Conservation is the one in their statutes that typically it has rulemaking authority. And again, there's language about the rules must require a permit if it's within a special flood hazard, an area of special flood hazard. I don't know whether either Samantha Horn Olson or Mr. Denico would like to talk about this language, or if the committee has any questions.
Representative McKay got a question about water crossings. I see water crossings in here. Representative McKay, was that the one you had a question on, bottom page 2?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have questions on 2 of the sections, but just in the interest of staying in order, I'm happy to start with that one. I guess for me, I'm trying to grasp the water crossing piece, and it might be helpful if Mr. Denico came up, and then I could ask him.
Come on, Mr. Denico.
Doug Denico, Maine Forest Service.
Sure. So under the water crossing piece, I think that, are we talking all water crossings? You know, I'm thinking of, I'll give you a real-life scenario. You leave the Marshall Yard, and you go out over that bridge. That's actually a box culvert, I believe, or arch culvert now.
Arch culvert, yeah.
Yeah. Are we talking that type of water crossing, or are we talking something that's more of a temporary crossing?
No, we're talking the permanent crossings. What we've done in here, and it's made this thing longer, but we needed to make it longer, satisfy some folks, is that there's some special areas that Lurk is concerned about that they want to keep additional control. Mm-hmm. And one of the crossings is the special river segments, and you'll pick up on that in different sections. That's one thing that we've carved out, that if we can go ahead and do a permit, but we have to do it with concurrence of the Land Use Regulation Commission. And we're not sure we still have quite the, I think Lurk and Maine Forest Service are on the same page where we want to do, but we're still having trouble with the language act.
We're working sure.
That. But it's about concurrence. We'll do the permitting, but they need to be able to say okay when we're done. And it's for certain places. And one is special river segments, mm-hmm. but not generally nowhere. They're fine letting us do the general crossings. Just a few places that they'd like to have that concurrence.
Okay.
And then there's some areas where they want to have more control over roads, particularly along trail segments in some of the RR districts.
Sure. I think there's an area where we've had feedback in the last few years from landowners Some of us had the opportunity to go up north a couple of years ago and look at some of the roads and actual stream crossings, and one of the issues there seemed to be time as far as being able to get a permit. But I also think of some of these larger ones, and I was just thinking of capacity of the Forest Service and making sure that you folks had sort of the capacity, and you know, we weren't burdening you with sort of added engineering and pieces of that to, you know, review some of these. So
we don't look at that as a burden, no.
Okay.
As an honor, you.
We'll talk costs later, I guess, as we get into some other areas.
I don't think this. I think Commissioner Beardsley is the one to address that. But as far as I know, there's very little cost associated with what we are going to be doing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Janico.
Some caves. I get both your issues. You,
oh no.
Oh no. Okay. Jill, moving on, I guess.
Okay. So again, that language is that the responsibility is going to the Maine Forest Service, but LORC will be involved, particularly for areas that have been designated as having some kind of unique resources needing special protection. Section 6. This is on page 3. The fee schedule. Maine Forest Service hasn't, they don't have permits and charge fees under this section of their law, but if they're going to start doing permits for what's required, a LORC permit is required now, and they pay a fee to LORC for that activity. If Maine Forest Service starts to do those activities, then this would give them the, it allows them to establish a schedule of fees through rulemaking. The way I've written it, specific to those new responsibilities. They can't use this authority to go out and charge a whole bunch of other fees. So I've written fairly specifically. And you'll just note that usually these, anytime fees are being authorized, and usually there needs to be either a range or a maximum in statute, or it becomes a major substantive rule. That's why they're not withstanding language. If you're comfortable with them doing the fees, then that's fine to have them come in as routine technical, but it does have that.
Senator Schneider.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jones, did you check out the question I had last time about rulemaking and about how the rules, because that bill that we just passed.
Oh.
Did you check into that?
I'm sorry.
Well, could you just do that for next time? Because this is all, because it could be to completely not an issue, and yet sometimes we struggle over it.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just.
One list by any.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on.
So that's new language. There was some changes just in terms on page 5, just in terms of the effective date. This is where the municipalities, this is the timber harvesting in shoreland areas and riparian areas, and there's just some language change on the top of page 5 saying they're putting in a date whereby municipalities that have already accepted the state standards or have adopted an ordinance that's identical, standards would apply January 1st, 2013. This has to do with not waiting until you get the certain number of municipalities. If they've already agreed and want to abide by those standards, that could go into effect January 2013.
Any questions? Seeing none, Jill, move on.
And then I think at the bottom of page 5, and this is some language similar to some language that you saw in the amendment that Commissioner Aho brought to you today. This is over in NERPA, the delegation of permit granting authority to conservation for the timber harvesting activities.
Any questions? Seeing none, move on.
And And then there's just the transition language has changed a bit, just to make sure that the department and commission shall review, this is unallocated language, shall review standards in effect to protect historic, scenic, scientific, recreational, and aesthetic resources in areas identified by LARC as requiring special protection. And it's just basically a directive for the department and LARC to work together as this transfer takes place to make sure those areas are protected.
Doug?
There's two sections in here that we agree in principle. We still need some wordsmithing, and this is one of them, Section 13. We've worked some language out probably today, but we've been kind of rushed on it. And the other section is Section 14. We'd like to be able to come back with a few, some language changes in those two. Those are the only ones that we think we have some things we'd like to still clear up a little bit better. And it's again to give LARC the comfort they need in certain areas, so if we take things over, they have the authority to still need to retain.
We have a little trouble with Section 14. We don't seem to have it.
It's Section 2, I think he's referring to. It's some Section 14.
Section 14, yeah.
Okay.
And the other Section 3 is under Section 12.
Okay, thank you.
So we're going to have another language.
Yes. Yep.
You have, this is one you have voted, but you do need, we'll continue to work. Yeah?
Tweaking time.
But does anyone have questions about the substantive differences? Is it just?
Representative McCabe, you must have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question was in regards to the Section 12. It would be 32 there, page 6 and 7, and it's in regards to the chop and drop. I just like to use that term. I think our discussion last time around sort of was we kept circling around the issue of involving the biologists, whether it was DMR, IF&W, and I didn't see that here specifically, and I just want to make sure that we somehow involve them. I know they spent most of the day sitting in the front row, and we didn't really call on them, but our committee discussion was sort of around a way to involve them. I think we felt, or the general consensus was, that a permit wasn't needed, but that there needed to be some sort of sign-off or sponsorship from a biologist, from DMR or IF&W, and one of the, yeah, so.
That language is on page 2, the second paragraph from the top. That's over where forestry is being, in the forestry statute, but the section you're referencing, maybe it does need to be there too. That's where it's being, all that's happening in Section 12 is under NERPA, you're saying a permit is not required for the activities. If the chop and drop is done in accordance with 8867C and rules to implement it, and the language in 8867C is on page 2, the second paragraph on the top, is that enough for what you're looking for, or would you like more detail?
I think my recollection was that when we discussed it, there was an interest to have some sort of, you know, oversight by a biologist and.
Oh, actually, on when it's being done, you mean?
Or with that specific, you know, example or stream that it, you know, was deemed appropriate. And I think it was. Okay. I think the Forest Service and Mr. Denico can probably talk to this. They seemed interested in that component.
Yeah,
so.
We had a 9-point program that we gave you folks, and what would happen is no area has anything done to it unless the fisheries biologists say,
sure,
this is the area that this chop and drop will take place.
Mm-hmm.
The fisheries biologists are the only ones that can designate that. And then,
sure.
the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, and it's not in here, but we could put it in there, the DMR, help us develop the rules on what takes place there.
Sure.
And we could add that in there very simply. And then the other piece is that when we proceed to do those activities, they notify IF&W that they're now there. And also the training. There's going to have to be some training take place for the licensed foresters before they can do this. and the training would also be put together by IFNW as well as the Maine Forest Service and DMR if they wanted.
Sure.
So there's about four levels there where those agencies have a lot to say on what it looks like, what we do. But the beginning is we can't do anything unless IFNW's fisheries people say, that's the place. So there's, I think, a lot of oversight going on there.
So do you think we could achieve it in like a one-line, two-line?
I'd be happy to put that in there if you want it, that specificity in the rules.
Sure. I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to bring it back.
Hey, try that and we'll see it on Thursday. We'll have to mark that as the McCabe Amendment, never to be touched again.
Mr. Chair, I was going to name it for Representative Edgecombe, who really seemed concerned about the Brook Trout habitat.
Yeah. By the way, I showed some of those photographs to some senators, and they said, you're going to do what with chop and tar? Drop. They didn't like the looks of it, so they might vote against us just on that basis. I think we're getting to the end here, I'm sure.
We actually have a native brook trout habitat in Skowhegan, and that's the biggest complaint of the adjacent landowners is the fact that there's woody debris in the stream, and it's actually at the end of the Russell Road behind the old Solon Manufacturing Storage building. So I imagine you've driven by it, and that's an eyesore people feel. So absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Denico.
Okay, Jill, are we at the end of this mess here after 3 hours?
Well, you've gone through a lot. I do you want to look at Representative Foster's amendment, the language that's come back on that?
I see everyone looking down as I look left and right. I hear too much information overload already.
Well, then if you just
we've been at this, that would be an item for Thursday, maybe. Take a look at the language.
Okay, do you want to kind of... Oh, you didn't make copies? Great. So you know that? Yeah. I don't know if I read it. If you want to just go through again what you need, what you would like for Thursday, or I can send you a list tomorrow that... How would you like...
Let's do both, because we can do it around the table. I think I'm concerned, first of all, with the bill around the $1 fee that we've got to do Thursday. It has nothing to do with this.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know if Representative Cray wants to talk about the bill that we can do in a hurry. Shaking his head no. Because that has to be done, right? We should have that done as soon as we can.
I think Representative Dill and I are all set on that. Thank you.
That makes me feel a lot better, I'm sure.
So if that one's going to go quickly, that'll be first on your agenda on Thursday.
I think it should be, yes.
Okay.
Well, you got to follow protocol anyway. Yeah. So, Gio, why don't you put what you think we need to hear on, if that's possible? You've heard some comments here.
Well, I think I know that you want to before you talk about rulemaking anymore, Senator Schneider has asked for clarification on the bill that just passed and what impact that would have from a practically speaking on any rules that are adopted under this legislation. I think you want, Commissioner Aho, you want to have an opportunity to look a little more at the language that she provided, what the practical impacts of that are going to be. And then...
Well, the Foster Amendment.
Read the Foster Amendment, yeah. And then I guess go back to the sheets on the items on the green sheet that you were waiting
bucket.
On.
So we can do it in the bucket. I think the purpose and scope is on there. What else is on that?
Well, the small projects, you talked about that today, about moving small projects to the counties, whether the language in the bill is sufficient. That's the section, I believe section 19 of the bill where it proposes you, that's another weight. Then the site law you talked about with the commissioner today, and just more. Did you get enough information today on how a project would be treated differently under site law versus LURC versus? Is there? Do you need anything more on that?
It might be wise to have something in writing so we can.
Okay. So do you want like an example of a subdivision taking place in LURC jurisdiction? That
as long as it's smaller than Plum Creek, that's
okay. So that would be helpful if you had like a subdivision taking place within LURC jurisdiction that would trigger site law review. How that would differ, and to have them walk you through exactly what LURC would be doing in terms of public process
along those lines. Yeah, I think Senator Schneider said
that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
I've got to ask. I mean, the expertise exists here today to explain that, doesn't it, Senator?
Does it? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I like to read what I've been given so far, and it's really hard for me to sit here and go through an entire new amendment, and unless you would like to sit here and explain that to me thoroughly.
It's 20 minutes to four.
I don't
know
really
fight
more
here
about that.
In a minute.
Senator. Okay, so that's
Senator Schneider, I'm with you. I like to see things because, frankly, we may have to take this guy on between us here.
Okay, so you'll do a walkthrough of one example.
Right.
How site law, how that change would look. The other thing is you. The other things I had to. I'll have you a time effective date for the legislation. I mean, there's different effective dates in the bill the way it's written. There's other dates that have been proposed or tossed around. So I think you'll want to nail those as you go through on Thursday, and I can show you where the different dates are, and you can talk about decide what you want to be effective.
Yeah.
In terms of, I have on the gray sheet, there's some suggested language. It was suggested that there be a directive to facilitate a pre-application discussion. I drafted some up. You can look at that and see if that's something you want to include, if that's enough detail, or if you want more detail. Again, it's unallocated language. And unallocated language for prospective zoning. People seem to say at the last work session if they wanted to give a strong direction to the new Land Use Planning Commission to start this, and you may want to look at that and think of if you want to include specific dates. You may also want to think of some of the testimony you heard, people were wanting to say, how soon do you want to see either changes in the CLUP or changes or LURC's amending rules to be consistent with the changes in the purpose. This gets to the purpose and scope section that you haven't discussed, but you may want to put in some directives in terms of how quickly you expect that to happen.
So we can do us all this Thursday. The red line, I forgot where I went to, the amendment had the red in red.
DEP
the DEP amendments.
Yes.
We probably need to take a look at that. At least I've read it before Thursday. So, Representative Dill, anything you want to see Thursday? Representative Black? Representative Dill?
I'm all set.
All set again, twice.
I'm all set.
This fertilizer thing again. Representative Inchcombe?
I'm all set.
All set. Thibodeau? Snyder? Okay. Foster. All set, Jeff. So we'll call this meeting to an end. Thank you for your patience. Move to adjourn. Thank you.